protection. That word special that we've chosen means distinguished or different from what is ordinary or usual. It means extraordinary, exceptional. And we've got a God that knows how to give special protection, a special deliverance. In other words, it's unique. God does not always rescue and protect us the same way that he does. But oftentimes, my friends, it's in an unusual way. And we see this in these verses. The first thing we see, my friends, now just to kind of catch up a little bit, we already have seen where Saul has tried to have some folks to kill David. They was watching for him. But then David's wife, she told David what was going on. And so David escaped out the window. He was able to get delivered, rescued. And then Saul didn't like him. He told his daughter, "What's going on here? I mean, how in the world are you going to let him get out of here?" But nonetheless, she lied. She said, "Well," he said, "you want me to kill you, do you?" And so anyhow, she said she let him go, basically. But nonetheless, we see that when David left, number one, he went seeking. He went seeking. The Bible says in verse 18, "So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, to Ramah. And the Bible says, and told him all that Saul had done to him, and he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth." The first thing we see is that David left there and he sought Samuel. Now, if you remember, my friends, we had not heard from Samuel since David had been anointed to be king back when he's at his daddy's house. A lot has transpired since then. He has slain the giant. He has been there playing the harp or a musical instrument for Saul when the evil spirit would come upon him. A lot of things have happened. And now he goes to Samuel. Now, when I was reading this, I said, man, what an awesome scene. Because, you know, we start with Samuel before his birth. It was Samuel's mother who could not bear children, and then she went and cried to God, and God gave her a miracle, and she had Samuel. And the whole first part of 1 Samuel deals with him, and it's an awesome story. But now we see him back on the scene. Now, remember the last time he saw Saul, he said, "I can't see you no more," because of what had taken place. And he never went back to see Saul again. But now here is Samuel. And David seeks Samuel, the prophet of God. And the Bible says here, my friends, that when he found him, the Bible says he told Samuel all that Saul had done. Everything. The good, the bad, yep, and ugly. I mean, when somebody tells the whole thing on you, you're like, you left some stuff out, couldn't you? He told everything. And I'm sure he was not happy. Because remember, when it was being removed from Saul being king, it hurt Samuel. Go back with me for a second. Go back over to 1 Samuel chapter number, 15, and look at verse number 35. Look at verse 35, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 35. The Bible says this, verse 34. The Bible says, "Then Samuel went to where?" Hello, somebody. Ramah. "And Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. And the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel." Samuel mourned over Saul. I mean, he wept so much that finally, matter of fact, look at the next chapter, the first part of the next chapter, verse 1, chapter 16 says this, "And the Lord said to Samuel, how long? How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? He says, fill thine horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, and I provide me a king among his sons." It seemed like Samuel loved Saul. Saul was a disappointment. And he never went again to go and see Saul. And now he hears a report about Saul, and it ain't good. David says, "Man, remember me? I mean, the one you anointed, let me tell you what's happened." And then we see, going back now to chapter 19, we see that David sought Samuel, and now Samuel and David are going to seek the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 18, "So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naoth." As you're going to see in a few moments, Naoth was the place where the other prophets, where the sons of the prophets were at. This is a place of perhaps worship. But they went down there and began to prophesy and began to worship. Listen, my dear friends, when the enemy attacks us, when the enemy is surrounding us, one of the best things you and I can do is get to a place of worship, get to a place to seek God's face. But I'm going to tell you what, my friends, also it's a great thing to not go by yourself. Take somebody with you. The Bible says that Samuel and David went down there together. David got somebody, yoked up with somebody to touch and agree along with David about this situation. But sometimes we want to play the Lone Ranger, but he did have Tonto.
Come on.
Listen, my dear friends. Hey, we need somebody to yoke up together and begin to pray about situations. So we see the seeking, and then we see the spying. The Bible says in verse 19 of 1 Samuel 19, and it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naoth in Ramah. Somebody was spying on David. Somebody saw what took place, and they run back to King Saul and say, we know where he's at. Well, you know what? There's always somebody watching.
Come on.
There's always somebody that has an eye on you, and not for your benefit, but oftentimes for your destruction.
Yeah.
And these folks went and told Saul, knowing that Saul wanted David dead. They were spying on him, and they told Saul, listen, folks are going to spy on you, but you know what you're going to have to do? Keep on serving God.
Amen.
Keep on serving God. But then we go from the spying to the seizing. The seizing. The Bible says in verse number 20, and Saul sent messengers to do what? Take him. Take David. Seize him. Grab a hold of him. The Bible says, my dear friends, that they went there to take David, and when they saw the company of the prophets, the Bible says, prophesying, and then they said, and Samuel standing as appointed, that means as the leader there, the Bible says this, watch it. Oh, well, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. Say what? They go down there to take David. And here is the prophets of God. The next thing you know, they start prophesying.
Yeah.
I said, what in the world's happening here? I looked that up. That word prophesizing is not just also foretelling, but it also means to worship, to exalt as well. So more than likely, because they were not prophets, they would probably begin to worship and exalt. Can you see that? I mean, that blew my mind. I mean, here they are. They came down there to take David. The next thing you see, my dear friends, were prophets. I mean, to speak or sing by inspiration. They were singing about God.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
That reminded me of a book I read about Jim Cimbala and how one night while they were worshiping and folks were praying and people were getting saved, all of a sudden a man comes walking down the aisle with a gun in his hand. His wife, Carol, is over there playing on the piano, and she sees, she's trying to grab a hold of his attention, but he's kind of unaware of what's taking place. And the man comes up to the platform with a gun in his hand, and then instead of shooting, the man throws a gun down on the platform and begins to walk away. Jim Cimbala catches the man before he can leave and begins to say, don't go. And then the other people gathered around not to hurt him, but to see what was happening with him. The man said that he was on his way to kill somebody. And as he came by the church, he walked on the inside. And the Spirit of God began to touch him. And before, instead of going to shoot somebody, he comes down the aisle and throws a gun on the platform.
Yes, Lord.
You know what, my dear friends? God has a way of changing somebody's mindset. God has a way, my friends, of protecting as well. We have a God that knows how to send special deliverance, special rescue, special protection, my dear friends.
Amen.
They come down there to take David and start prophesying. They worship. Watch this. Then the Bible said in verse 21, and when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers. And what did they do? And they prophesied likewise. Here come another group of guys. We're going to take him out. We're going to get David. And then they come down there. Woo! Woo, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Woo. Hey, my friends, it's amazing sometimes. I'm going to a worship service and I see folks come with an attitude. And before they leave, my dear friends, they've gotten some help from the master. Their whole mindset got changed. They came with an attitude, but they left, my friends, with strength from the power of Almighty God. The Spirit of God has power. And the Bible says it was the Spirit of God that grabbed the hold of these messengers. The Bible goes on to say in verse 21. And so Saul said, well, let's try this thing again. And Saul sent messengers again the third time. And they prophesied. Maybe she kept on sending the whole nation down there. And they all would have got right with the Lord. Amen. But my soul, they went to seize. This is why I want to mention to you guys. They went to seize David and were seized by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
My soul. Amen. Well, here come the big poobah, or whatever you want to call him. Here comes Saul. The Bible says he comes down there in verse 22. Then when he also to Ramah. But notice what he did. He came to a great well that is Sichu. And he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And the Bible says he went thither to Naoth. God, this is awesome. In Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. And the Bible says, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. Did y'all catch that? Brother Russell, the first group of messengers, when they got there, they started prophesizing. The second group, when they got there, they started prophesizing. The third group, the same thing. But with Saul, it hit him before he even got there. Let me read it again. This time a little bit slower. The Bible says, he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also, and he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. See, sometimes we think, well, I ain't going to go down there. I'll be back over here. It won't touch me over here. Listen, God can grab a hold of you, my dear friends, anywhere that you are, my friends. God has the power to transcend, my friends, and go places where you and I can't go. God can grab folks out of the pool halls, the drug joints, you name the place. God can go down there and grab a hold. People try to run and try to hide. You can't hide from God. I've heard folks getting saved at the bar stools. I mean, sit at the bar stool getting saved. I know somebody personally, themselves, who shouldn't have been there. And listen, don't raise your hands, though. But anybody that's ever drunk, did drugs, whatever, you know, don't raise your hands, though. But you know eventually what starts happening. I don't know how many times sitting there high, drunk, with my friends, my homies, and next thing you know, we start talking about God. We start talking about the end of the world, what's going to happen. We start talking about all this kind of stuff. And then eventually somebody said, hey, man, we need some reason to start talking about that. We need to get off of that. But every single time we begin to talk, my friends, we've been talking about a whole bunch of mess at first. But then sooner or later, we come down and start talking about God and things of that nature. And then we start getting scared. You know what, my friends? We got a God that has the power to reach you wherever you are.
Yes.
Saul said, I'm going to come down there. I'm going to take care of business. And it grabbed the hold of Saul, but it wasn't done. The Bible says, next, watch this. The Bible says in verse number 23, and the last part, until he came to Naoth and Ramah, and he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul among the prophets? I think he embarrassed himself. I mean, everybody else still was clothed. Now, so I can help some of y'all about this. Just start naked. Hold on a second. The word naked here means nude partially or totally. So more than likely, he had taken off his royal garments. He still had on his undergarments, but it was still considered to be naked. And to be that way, my friends, was almost an embarrassment. Because this is King Saul. That's all. Oh, and there he is rolling out. I don't know if he's rolling the floor or not. But nonetheless, there he is. Amen. Listen, that should warn some folks too that try to attack God's people. God knows how we has a way of humbling you. You might try to seek to slay some of God's children, but God has a way of humbling us, amen. The Bible says right here, man, all these things took place. Now, some folks might say, well, you know what? Maybe I guess they was spiritually getting right with God and all that kind of stuff. God has control over leaders and so forth and so on. Matter of fact, look with me over to Proverbs 21 and verse 1. Proverbs 21 and verse 1. I want to show you this. Proverbs 21, verse 1. I know some folks, not y'all, but some folks, they scared their boss. Like he got the power of life and death. He can fire me. He can fire me. Listen, do your job. Don't worry about who can fire you. You can't nobody fire you unless God allows that to take place. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 21 and verse 1. The Bible says, God's word says this. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he wills. God can cause your boss to give you an increase. Matter of fact, he did for our sister. She went in, and because it's all on Facebook. So, but yeah, she went in, and she got another job. It was going to be working second shift from 3 to 11. And so she actually quit her other job today because she was starting a new job tomorrow. Well, when she went in there, she said the chef called. After she had quit, the chef called her. And the chef said, we had somebody just come in to turn their 2 weeks' notice in, and we were going to actually give you their position. Do you still want to quit? And then we'll give you full-time days. Wow. She said, when's the last time the place you went and quit at calls you back and say, we want to give you an increase and we want to help. Come on, somebody. Listen, my friends, God got power. Now, this is what I like. She actually was asking people to pray that she makes the right decision because she needed more money, but she wasn't getting much on her job at all, and she's trying to take care of her children, but she's wanting to do the right thing, and everybody had comments on there and stuff, but she said, I'm going to rest a little while or whatever. It's the midst of all that. God began to work and turn things this way and turn things that way. This is my dear friends. We've got a God that's in control. Our God, my dear friends, is sovereign. Our God is in charge. He is king. He is master. He is Lord. There's no need to fear what man can say or what man can do. But you don't know my boss. Has he ever created anything?
Come on. Right.
From nothing.
Right. Come on.
Maybe I already heard the story about the contest they was going to have. And I don't know if it was between Satan and God or whoever. But God, I think it was man. And God told man, get your own dirt now. You're going to get your own stuff, get your own materials, amen. Because all this stuff God created, my dear friends. Hallelujah. Oh, my. So let's go back. It's about done. It's about done. Okay. Smell the chicken. Watch it. So we see God's in control. But let me say this. Worship doesn't mean that you're right with God. See, sometimes folks think, well, if I just worship, me and God good to go. Because you see all these folks here, even Saul. But y'all know what happened to Saul. Saul's going to still try to kill David afterwards. Just because you worship or just because you're doing things for God does not mean that you are right with God. Now, let me give you some verses. Go with me to Matthew 7, verse 21. Matthew 7, verse 21. Now, watch this. Matthew 7 and verse 21. You've heard this verse before, but we're going to read it. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Here's Jesus speaking, and he says this in Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not, watch it, prophesied in thy name? Oh, and in thy name have cast out devils? Oh, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Watch the response. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never was intimately acquainted with you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Oh, but they're doing great things. Oh, and in this case, we're talking about, listen to what they said. They said, look what they said. They said here, we have cast out devils in thy name, prophesizing in thy name. Well, guess what? There was somebody else that did that too. Look with me over to John 6. I'm sorry, Matthew 10 and verse number 1. Matthew 10 and verse number 1. Watch this. The Bible says in Matthew 10 and verse 1. And this will be a good study for some of y'all later. But look at Matthew 10 verse 1. And when he, talking about Jesus, had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon, the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth. Judas was among the 12. Yep. That the Bible says right here that was sent to heal, to cast out, and all these types of things. But hold on, baby. Run with me to John chapter 6, verse 67. John chapter 6 and verse number 67. Oh, but they draw great crowds. Oh, great things are happening down there. My dear friends, you can see all kinds of things happen, but does that person really know Jesus Christ as their Savior? The Bible says in John chapter number 6 and verse number 66, the Bible says this in John 6 verse 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Let me pause here for a second. I can't tell you how many times in the past I've read these scriptures and I began to rejoice, Sarah, and I began to shout and praise God, because they said right here, they said, Lord, whom shall we go? Who are we going to go to? You've got the words of eternal life. There were times of attack from the enemy, a time of discouragement. But then I say to myself, where am I going to go? I'm not going to leave the Lord. I mean, I'm not going to something else that had nothing to do with God. My dear friends, I'm going to stick with Jesus. Hallelujah. Now watch this. The Bible says in verse 69, and we believe that thou art sure, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But watch it. Watch it. Jesus answered them. Because see, Peter can't speak for everybody but for himself. Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a what? A devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Go with me to John 13 and verse number 10. John 13 and verse number 10. What are you trying to show us, preacher? Hey, you might look, smell, and all the other kind of stuff like a Christian, but do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? The Bible says in John 13 and verse number 10, the Bible says, and Jesus said to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Well, I wonder who that was. Wild guess, Judas? Listen, my dear friends, it's important to not have an outward expression of faith, but an inward faith. A faith that truly trusts God, that trusts Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because anybody can say, oh, I love Jesus, and cut your throat. But do you really know Jesus Christ? Do you really know him as your Savior? And not just spell his name, and not just know the definition of his name, but do you know Jesus?
Come on, amen.
When you go back, let's go back. We're done. Let's go back. 1 Samuel. We see the seeking, the spying, the seizing, and then we see the safety. The Bible says this in verse 24, and he stripped off his clothes also, and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets? And the Bible says, and David fled from Naoth in Ramah. While Saul was doing all this stuff, it was time for David to make his escape. And David made his escape. David was taken to a place of safety. Now, of course, he goes and he talks with Jonathan, which is going to be Sunday's message. And they're going to try one more time. One more time. But God gave David safety. And he did it in a special way, special protection. Let me give you this. Look at Psalm 124 and verse 6. Psalm 124 and look at verse number 6. Psalm 124, verse 6. Look what David says here. Man, I love that. I tell you, more I'm saying about David, more I like that boy every day. I mean, I liked him before, but I really, I'm not getting, he become, listen, 1 Samuel 21:24. David says these words, or verse 6. Man, it's helping me. Verse 6, Samuel 124, verse 6. Blessed be the Lord, who have not given us as prey to their teeth. You know anybody want to chew on you? David says, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's break it down. He says our soul is escaped. It's slipped away. It's been delivered as a bird out of a snare, out of a trap. Yep. And they're trying to trap the bird. And we're like the bird, the enemy trying to trap. But then God comes by and messes up the trap. So you're able to escape. My dear friends, the enemy laying all kinds of stuff out there trying to trap us, but God knows how to get by all those traps. And so you and I can have a place of victory, but you got to follow him. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes I know it's scary because you don't know where they are. But God says, just follow me. And you see folks around you getting all blown up and tore all up. And God says, don't focus on them, follow me. But what about so-and-so? Man, he been faithful for a long time. But whoa, boom, there he go. Oh, my goodness. He said, just follow me. I know how. You ever watch those movies where they got to follow the person? And then there's always somebody. They got to say, you know what? This is just taking too long. And they run off. No, boom. Because they don't know where this stops at. How many of y'all watched, don't raise your hand, but I watched Mockingbird, The Hunger Games, and that one scene where they got all them traps and stuff, and the one person just ran, boom, gone. Well, they got a machine, but some folks don't want to follow the machine. We got something better than machine. Amen. We got God. Right. Watch what David says. David says, our soul is escaped. Now, nobody said our soul. That's very important. Because sometimes, my dear friends, physically, it might have a hold of you. It's like sickness, for example. But your soul can still escape. Yeah. Can escape. The Bible says our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken. And we are escaped. Our help, our aid, the one who helps us, is in the name, the authority, the power of the Lord Jehovah God who made heaven and earth. This God that created something from nothing was able to deliver us, and that's the one who our help is in. Amen. Well, I'm going to go to my buddy. Your buddy can't do but so much. But God can do all things. Right, let's flip back over there. This is what he says. Verse 1, chapter 20. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah. Here's my first question. Has adversity sought to take hold or seize you? Has adversity sought to take hold of you or to seize you? Second question is this. Have you sincerely sought others to help seek God with you? Have you sincerely sought others to help seek God with you? Sometimes you need somebody to pray with you. Yeah. My last one's not a question, but a statement. Let's ask God to help us because the enemy seeks to destroy us. Father, thank you for your many wonderful blessings. And I pray and ask God that each of us will realize that no matter what we're facing, that you know I have your special protection. And I pray, God, to give each of us that special protection. I pray, God, to help us in situations, God, that look like they just can't be fixed. We know that they're able to, but it seems like, I don't know how this is going to work out. But Father, help us, Lord, not to shrink in despair nor fear, but God, be encouraged by your word. Perhaps, God, there's some folks we want to talk to tonight about some matters of the heart. I pray, God, they come gather around these altars and talk to you. Perhaps, God, there's some folks who want to pray for others who are in a situation that they need deliverance and they want to intercede on their behalf. I pray, God, they will come. Perhaps, God, there's somebody here tonight that's not sure of their salvation. They want to get that thing settled. I pray, God, they come, let me know or someone else they have confidence in, and we will help them with the word of God. Father, whatever needs are, I mean, it has nothing to do with this message, but they want to come talk to you for a few moments. I pray, God, they come. Father, help somebody because somebody needs your help. I pray, God, you start with me. For so your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps you'd come tonight and talk to him for a few moments. Some have already come.